Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now in Masachet Bechorot Daf Vav Amud Bet at the bottom of the Amud. Tanu Rabbanan. Rachel shialda min Eiz ve'Eiz shialda min Rachel p'tura min ha'bechorav v'nish bo mitzat simanim chayevet. This is similar to what we saw in the Mishnah with this addition. Shimon Omer ad she rosho v'rubo doma le'imo. So Shimon adds in that it's not enough to have look a little bit like the mother to be chayav b'chora. It has to have majority and its head look like the mother. Does Rabbi Shimon require Rosh Hashanah also to be able to eat an animal whose mother is tahora, but it looks tmeah? So it's only if it's a pure gamal that it's aser. If its mother is a cow and it looks a little bit not like a camel but like a cow, then it should be okay. Perhaps it's the same rules for achila as for bechor. And those Rabbi Shimon would say Rosh Hashanah. Let's see. Toshma behema tahora shialda min behema tmeah. If behema tahora give birth to a what looks like a tmeah. Asur ba'achila. V'im tomer Rosh Hashanah le'imo chayam b'bechora shma mina. So the first point was talking about achila, and then I mentioned Rosh Hashanah, which means the author has to be Rabbi Shimon. He's the only one who concerned himself with Rosh Hashanah. And it says then chayam b'bechora. So you see that he seems to mix the two together. Actually, even though we said if it totally looks like the other one, not like the mother, then it's asur b'achila, but the second half, instead of it looks majority and the head, went to b'chora. And you could see it from the fact that in the Braita, they shifted away from achila, went to b'chora. Perhaps Rabbi Shimon requires it for achila also. But it had to mention b'chora. Why? Since there's this desideratum that it looks like the mother, maybe Rabbi Shimon would not be satisfied with even Rosh Ovrubo. Adika kule, maybe it has to be fully looking like the mother. So kamash malan, the Rosh Ovrubo is enough. So we don't know what he says about achila yet. So when the Torah says this is what you may not eat of those that have one siman, you are able to eat those that have only one siman, like those four. What's that? Meaning a tahor gave birth to something that looks tameh, and therefore has only one siman. As long as the father was also tahor, meaning an ox had relations with a cow and it gave birth to something like a donkey. I might even think if the father is tamei, meaning a donkey had relations with a cow, which probably can't work. Talmud Lomar, seich savim b'seizim. Therefore, the pasuk in Parsharei says seich savim b'seizim, meaning it has to be kisavim and izim, both parents. Achei aviv keves v'imo kisavim. That's what Rabbi Yeshua's take. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees and says, "Lo ba'katuv l'hatira tamutar ella hosif al hamutar." The Torah isn't coming to be matir that which is mutar anyways, but rather to expand what's mutar. If the father is a tamei, I might think it might be only as far as Rabbi Yeshua went. Sure, sech savim v'seizim uses the same pasuk Rabbi Yeshua used to limit, and says mikol makom as long as it is the birth of an Eiz. So now, the problem with this entire Braita is Kari Le Tamei, Kirabi Shimon, that the Braita refers to this animal as a Tamei. So it sounds like Rabbi Shimon, who says that unless it has a Rosh Ovrubo at least, but then it says, but then it says you're allowed to eat it, which seems to say that Rabbi Shimon would say, even though I call it Tameh and it's Patur from Bechora, it still is something that may be eaten. No, hi Tana Sabalekavate Bechara Upalegale Bechara. The answer is our Tana here. The author of this Braita agrees with Rabbi Shimon in one thing as far as definition goes, but disagrees with him about another, which is that he relaxes the rules for Achila. Some people actually read this as a question. Since when can a cow, let's say, get pregnant from a tamei? So tahor and tamei cannot impregnate each other. Ovines and bovines cannot impregnate each other. Those can't impregnate each other. The famous machlok Rabbi Lezer about the koi and kisui adam. Because he has a tzviya mitaber from a tayish. Okay. V'yam Rabbi Yirmiya. So therefore, how do we explain that whole brayta? Because after all, it's not possible for a tamei to be impregnated to hora. T'yamar mikalut ben para, that the father was a ben para who happened to have cloven hooves. Then we had encountered that in the fourth parak in Chulin. V'alibir Rabbi Shimon kamar, and they're saying it according to Rabbi Shimon. V'kamar v'alatau chelba b'siman achad, again indicating that Rabbi Shimon does not even require rosho v'rubo, as long as it looks a little bit like the mother, you can eat it. Again, and the same answer, that it could be that the Tana agrees with Rabbi Shimon definitionally, but disagrees with him halachically and is more lenient. Okay. Now, is that what happened here? Rabbi Lezer says, if you have two causes to create something, one of them is asur, we still say it's mutar, because the father's tamei. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you need to have both components be mutar. We heard the exact opposite approach. Vlad Trefer, Belezer Omer, Lo Yikrav Legabe Mizbeach. If you have an animal that's a Trefa, that was a Hektish, and it gave birth, Belezer says you cannot put it on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Omer, Yikrav Legabe Mizbeach, you can bring it. So it sounds like Rabbi Lezer says, Zevazagori Masur, because one of them is a Trefa, the other one isn't. And Rabbi Shua says, no, as long as one component is okay, it's okay. The answer is Rabbi Lezer holds the position he holds here in this last case. But our case is different. The Torah could have just said you can eat se ksavim v'izim. Se v'selam, why does it say the kid of shvamina semikol makom? Whatever the kid is, meaning even if the father is not from the right thing. In other words, our case is the exception. Rabbi Yeshua says Zevazagoreim is okay, like he says in the last case about the Vlad Trefa. It could have said it in the singular. Why did it say in the plural? You have to have both parents be keves. Toshma. So we still don't know. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gamal Shnei Piamim, that we had earlier in the previous podcast. Chad Gamal Anolad Min Gamal, Chad Golamal Anolad Min Hapara. But he has Vimarsho Rodo Melimo Mutar Ba'achila Shmamina Achila Namib Rabbi Shimon Rosho Rubo. Here Rabbi Shimon explicitly says that you need Rosho Rubo in order to be able to eat this mixed thing. Shmamina. And therefore we settled it, and now our question that we asked a little while ago about whether Rabbi Shimon requires Rosho Verubo for Achilah is answered in the affirmative. Okay. The end of the Mishnah was Shayotsemina Tameh Tameh, Shayotsemina Tahor Tahor, Ba'umina Mirav Sheshet. They asked Rav Sheshet, Meira Glaim Shal Chamor. What about donkey urine, Mahu? Alright, so he asked them, so why are you asking about donkey urine? Ask about urine of horses and camels, meaning is it mutar? The answer is, we're not going to ask that. They're not muddled and they don't look at all like milk. Therefore, Maya Nafuk. It's simply water that comes in, water that comes out. Evidently, donkey urine looks a little bit more like milk. So my, here's the question. Does it come out of the body? It squoze out of the body, as it were, vasiri. Maybe that's also water that comes in, water comes out. Maybe the fact that it's all muddled is because of heat of the body, but not because that's really what's happening inside. So he says, alright, and so he said, it doesn't say mitame, but ela min hatame. Why does it say that way? Hatame vahaninami mina de tamehu. So therefore, that means anything that comes out of the tame is tame, and therefore this stuff that comes out of the donkey can't be used. Vika damri, some have said the susik milim lokan bayelu. There's another reason that he didn't ask. They didn't ask him about horses and camels, the lo shatu inshi. Nobody drinks such stuff. Bayelu the chamor. Evidently, the shatu inshi the malu akorna. They'd use it for some sort of disease, and it would make them feel better. And so therefore, he's asking the question of its mutter. My. Good, still usher. Famous question, why are you allowed to eat bees' honey when bees are usher? Because they bring it into their body. They're not such squoze out of the body. I mean, it's not something a body produces. It's something really that the body modifies and catalyzes into honey. So the answer is who the Amar Korbi Yaakov, the Amar Duv Shirachman Asharye. So in the case I would say mina tame, why is it not the case then with honey? Because he says about honey, we have the special limud of Rabbi Yaakov that he says that the Torah permitted. Dan Rabbi Yaakov Omer Achet Zetochlu Mikol Sheretz Auf Zetochel Viatochel Sheretz Auf Tame. You're allowed to eat sheretz ha'of ha'tahor, but not tamei. Sheretz of tamei be'adjective. What do you mean? That's obvious. Ella, that's written explicitly. Ella, sheretz of tamei ha'tahochel ha'tahochel ma'sha'of tamei ma'shritz. You're not allowed to eat the sheretz of ha'tamei, an of ha'tamei that flies around and crawls around. But you are allowed to eat that which an of tamei puts out. Yachol, I mean, this is an exception. Yachol atvash hagizin vatsirin, maybe from other sort of hornets and things. Amarta lo umara ito about dvorim otzi hagizin vatsirin. So why do you decide to include bees honey and knock out those other ones? Bani dvash dvorim she'in lo shem levai. It's called dvash. Dvash. Umotzi ani dvash hagizin vatsirin she'ish lo shem levai. But we don't say honey and mean hornet's honey. We say hornet's honey. Now, come on, Azlahan and Tanya, Vashak Yizim Otsor in Tahor, Umutar Ba'achila, to look at Yaakov. So clearly, Rabbi Yaakov would distinguish and say, you're not allowed to eat that stuff. Tahor, meaning Amabai Machshava. So that means that it does not makabal Tuma unless you have intent to make it a food, and the fact that you didn't make it a food is why it does not makabal Tuma. Right, Tanya Miyachi Dvash b'chavarato metame tumatochlin shalob machshava. If you have dvash that's in the honeycomb, it's metame tumatochlin without you having any intent. Chale diachmurta sabravanal meimar beininhu. For that last thing, that means regular dvash does have that, indicating that other kind of dvash don't. Chale diachmurta. Which are evidently eggs of the achmur, which is one of the chayot. Savura bon on the meimar beininu. They think they're really eggs. Vasirat. Amrav safra zara da elu. That's just a seed. Da azel bata elata. That goes after the its female. Vaidid rachmat zara lo mizdaka. But since she has a very narrow canal, it's not able to have relations. Vaazel bata achmurta. So the ayal then goes after the achmur, which is similar to an ayala. Venatri, and the things fall out. Amravuna or haba keneged panav shel chamor mutar. The skin that's around the face of the chamor is mutar. My tama pirshim almohu. It's just something that exudes out of the body. Amavchis tatanin nimasai. Lach, I got bright that'll help you. Or haba keneged panav shel adam ben chay ben mei tahor. The skin that comes around from the side of a person's face is alive or dead is tahor. Myla benu chay veimo chaya ben hu meit veimo meita. No, bein hu chay v'imo meita, bein hu meit v'imo chaya. As long as one of them is alive. Atanya bein hu chay v'imo chaya, hu meit v'imo meita. So itanya tanya, if you have a brayta that says that, even if they're both dead, that it is tahor, then there is nothing that I can say about it. This orba keneged panei hachamor, by the way, is like sort of like a placenta or something that comes out. And so there is no tumat nevela here. And so he said, not even if the mother is meita and its mate, nonetheless, it would still be, because we do have that bright, it would still be tahor. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with the next podcast in the next Mishnah. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.